What if your best practices that you're actually following is holding you back? What if I told you that true project management success lies in your ability to adapt, whether you're juggling one project, two projects, hey, let's just be honest, juggling multiple projects and stakeholders and navigating company politics? The key to winning every project isn't just about sticking to the script. It's about creating a blend that works for you as well as the organization. But the real question here is, are you shaping your projects or are they shaping you? How often do you ask your team and stakeholders what their real pain points are before it's too late? You mind if I share a story with you, family? I remember when I walked into this organization that was very PMBOK heavy. What does that mean? That means that basically, they literally followed the PMBOK guide to the T, which I truly appreciated. But what I noticed, though, was there was a disconnect between the people that were part of the project management process and then the PMBOK itself. Yes, they were aware of it, but they weren't as connected to it as they should be. And I realized at that point that since there was a disconnect, and this came through trial and error, this came through having conversation, this came to being able to realize that sometimes we can, especially as our CAPMs or our PMPs or anyone that is studying this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with called project management, that we sometimes get so happy about what we've learned and how projects should be led that we fail to remember that projects are based around people and the actual people within the organization. So what I had to do every week is put together a PowerPoint presentation that outlined the current status of the project. And then week over week, I made adjustments based on whether it was the stakeholders, whether it was the project team, or most importantly, the executive leadership from their questions and comments. So today, in today's episode, family, we're going to talk about that, because what I've noticed a lot of times is we can get so caught up in what the standard should be, what should be accurate, what should be correct. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. However, you have to meet the organization where they are, or sometimes it's just meeting the project team or stakeholders where they are and then bringing them up with you. So let's jump into point number one. Trust is earned before it's given. Listen, family, I don't know why I'm in a story mood today, but reason why this point resonates so well with me is because when you come into a new organization, or when I've come into a new organization, project managers are not, they're not outgoing as you would assume or think that they would be, because of the fact of trust is earned before it's given. First, they're trying to see, who are you and what value are you going to offer? So you have to be prepared as a project manager in the beginning that you may not get the support that you thought that you should, that you require. So as they say, you may be on an island for a while until you can earn their trust. I know you're saying, well, why you ask? This is especially for someone that has got certified, whether they're PMP or they're CAPM, because there's a certain expectation that you're coming in to solve a problem. Now, how you fix that piece, though, is having the ability to show what you're capable of and make mistakes along the way and be very transparent, and having then eventually you can have those conversations. Here's my actionable tips. Don't be so quick to judge the reasons why these other project managers are not assisting you right away and giving you a hand up right away, because you don't know what they had to do to sustain their role. You have to imagine if you're going through this, imagine what they had to go through. So before you may be quick to judge, understand what they had to do. And then this is where you start at building these relationships with them. Because another actionable tip, family, you have to embrace the journey and know that because you have experience of having these letters behind your name, or even if you're a new project manager, just knowing that you have an amazing opportunity to really change the landscape there. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is really changing the landscape. I love it when there's not proper processes and procedures in place, or there's not proper coordination in place, that means I get a chance to change what is currently in place and really improve it, make it better. And I get to create the vision around this thing I love that I hope you fall in love with called project management. Point number two, use a communication plan to set expectations. If there is not a communication management plan in place, get a one pager document and get a communication plan in place. This communication, having an effective communication is key. If somebody came to me and said, give me three things that you think will make make the project more effective. And I will say communication, time management, scope management. Do you see where I'm going? The triple constraint, of course. And then I would probably even add another one, which is the true foundation is people. So a communication plan ensures that right information gets to the right people at the right time. And this reduces confusion and delays. And this helps you, family. When you have, here's the actionable tip. When you have a tailored communication plan that defines frequency, format, and channels for all project communication, this sets not only yourself up for success, but it sets up your project team and your stakeholders, because you know what I always say, frustration comes from the lack of understanding what expectations are. So when you establish expectations, now you have something to pivot. And if that frequency is not working and they say, we would rather get this report biweekly, no problem. Let me update that. And then you update your change log of who wanted this request and why, because it's very important. So when you have to get back in front of them, everyone is on the same page. Point number three, blend company knowledge with PMBOK standards. One of the things I realize is that while PMBOK provides a solid foundation for project management when it comes to best practices, but having the ability to integrate these with company-specific knowledge just creates a more effective and tailored approach. The PMBOK talks about this, is that we should be tailoring our approach. That's why the PMBOK is called a standard. A standard basically says, hey, if you're leading a project, these are the standards that you should be aiming for. However, you have to be adaptable to tailor your approach to where the company is at. This is why I always suggest meet the company, meet the organization where it's at, and then you bring them up with you slowly. Don't try and throw everything at them, because all what end up happening is they'll resist. Here's the actionable tip. This one right here, I should have called message. If you're new to the episode, anytime I say message, this is one of those playback moments. This is one of those moments you say, wow, I need to write this down. Here's an actionable tip. Create a project management playbook for the organization. I know what you're already thinking. You're like, wow, extra work. Yes, you want this extra work. Start with the PMBOK process, then modify them and supplement them based on company culture and past project success and organizational constraints. That last piece is key, organizational constraints, because you will have some organizational constraints. So in this playbook that you're building out, make sure that you look for that and review and update this playbook regularly. Point number four, identify stakeholders' pain points through proactive engagement. You need to understand stakeholders' challenges and concerns early and often in the project. This allows you to address them proactively instead of reactively. And this reduces resistance, this reduces stress, and it increases the support for the project. Here's my actionable tip. Conduct one-on-one interviews with key stakeholders when the project gets ready to kick off. Now, if you're not at the kickoff stage, let's say you're taking over a project and you're in the middle or you're near the end, wherever you're at in the project, you want to connect with these key stakeholders. And I would recommend, and you'll improve this questionnaire over time, but create a questionnaire to understand their expectation, their concerns, their past experience with similar projects. That is key, past experience, because now if you're not able to connect with other project managers because they're still trying to figure out who you are, what you're going to bring to the table, you'll be able to find out through these stakeholders. Trust me, they will be very transparent. They'll say, hey, I was working with Bob, and let me tell you, and they will just talk. You have to be able to leverage your active listening by asking a question and asking the question, be quiet. Ask the next question and ask, if it's a follow-up, ask the follow-up question. And then what you want to do is create a stakeholder pain point register to track and address these issues throughout the project. Point number five, regularly assess team pain points across all projects. As we talked about stakeholders, your team is very important because they are the ones that are actually going to be doing the work. So team members often face different challenges in various project phases. You want to do regular check-ins that allow you to address these issues, of course, or approach proactively, promptly, and so you can maintain team morale as well as productivity. Here's my actionable tip. Besides doing the one-on-one interviews, implement phase transition reviews. So at the end of each phase, you want to be checking in with the team. Hey, what's going well? What's not going well? What do you think we should do better? How do you think we should do it better? Because when people give you the how, when they answer the question of how you think you should be doing it, now they're buying in to an ideal that they thought of, and they're more willing to do that versus you saying, we're doing it this way. If we don't do it this way, then it's not going to work. That's not true. There's many ways to go about this. And create an anonymous survey that allow these teams that to identify their pain points, because sometimes you'll have people that won't feel comfortable because they don't know you. And because they don't know you, they're not going to be very transparent. So if there's a way for you to create it, to make it anonymous, and you could take it down all the way to the basics where you have people write a piece of paper on the note, and you go around and you collect these particular notes, put it in a hat, put it in a jar, a coffee mug. This is not, yes, software will definitely make it easier. But if you can't get your hands on software, we have to be creative. We have to remember, project manager, future or current project managers, that we are there to solve problems. And in solving problems, people are the ones we have to work with in solving these problems. So be attentive to that. Point number six, develop flexible procedures that can evolve. Don't stick to a rigid approach all the time. Create a flexible set of processes that allow you to adapt to your leadership style as new information or obstacles emerge during a project. Avoid a rigid framework that doesn't allow you allow room for change or create. One of the things I had to learn this the hard way, because again, I'm coming out with my PMBOK, I'm coming out with my agile practice. I'm like, yeah, this is what we're doing. And what I got so much pushback, and I was like, I'm following the standards. Like, why am I getting so much pushback? But what I realized is that people do not like change. So how do I ease in, sprinkle in a little bit of this, sprinkle in a little bit of that, and they see how it makes their job easier? They will start to create buy-in. Here's your actionable tips. Build a core set of project managers' procedures, but leave room for flexibility. For instance, develop adaptable templates for status reports or communication plans that can be tailored to each individual project need. Point number seven, determine what output of the project status should be each week. What I shared with you at the beginning of this episode, family, is when I was leading a project and I was so confused because of the fact that we had a tool that basically, once you updated your project management schedule, it updated onto a bigger schedule and a bigger update where executives, directors, et cetera, could look and see where the project was at. But every time I would go to my weekly meetings, it would be a huge disconnect between leadership and the project team. And they were like, where we're at on this, and you're like, I updated it. That's what I was thinking. And so you have to be able to also bring some PowerPoint deck to explain. So status reporting can be critical for keeping stakeholders involved, leadership involved, but not all projects require the same level of detail. That's another thing. You don't have to be over detailed. You have to know your audience. Executives are not going to want this detail. 3 or 4 or 5 slides. It should be 1 to 2 slides, 1 slide if you can. And you want to tailor the status report to the needs of the stakeholders so you can ensure relevant information is communicated without, of course, overwhelming them. Here's my actionable tip. meet with the stakeholders to determine the level of detail they expect in weekly status report. That is a piece I left out. That's exactly what I did. Even though while I was tweaking my slide or slides week over week, I was also meeting with the stakeholders to say, what are you looking for? What do you normally not get in a status update that you would love to see, love to have on there? Even if it's something that is more detailed, family, put it in, create a page where it says appendix and put it behind the appendix. So it's there if you have to grab it for further conversation. And sometimes they just may be looking for a high level progress update, or they may want a detailed breakdown of each task completion. But again, you need to tailor. I'm going to keep saying that. Tailor it that will fit the audience that you're talking with. Point number 8, track milestones with a Gantt chart or Excel. Again, I know I talked about this before when I gave you the story about when I was working at this organization. And I'm asking, I said, where's Mark? I saw a project, or where's Smartsheets? And my manager walked me back over to my office. And he was like, click here. This is Microsoft Office Suite. Use Excel or PowerPoint or anything else that we have in there. Again, Microsoft Project is the cornerstone of building out a really proper schedule, as well as Smartsheets. And then again, there's many of tools that are catching up with Microsoft Project, and there's a lot of them that I've used and I really enjoy using. However, Excel is another one that you have full access to. So again, start somewhere, and then as you continue to grow and get them to understand, get your team, get leadership to understand what you're doing when you're leading a project, then they may be willing to spend a little bit more money on some project management tools, but you have to use what you got. A Gantt chart is really going to just be for the visualizing each milestone and ensuring that the project stays on track. Actionable tip, like I said, if you're able to use project management software like Microsoft Project, build out a Gantt chart. But if not, then hey, use Excel to create a timeline. Update it regularly and share it with stakeholders to ensure everyone is aware of the upcoming milestones, so no one has an excuse, a reason, or miscommunication about the expected deadline. Here's my bonus, family. Implement a risk management plan that evolves. Risk management is not static. What does that mean? That means you don't create a risk register and you just say, oh, we're done with the risk register. No. As the project progresses, new risks may emerge that weren't visible during the planning phases. So keep your risk management plan adaptable, which helps mitigate these issues before they become critical. Here's my actionable tip. Revisit your risk management plan regularly, especially after major milestones or changes in project scope. Add these new risks to your risk register and then find mitigation strategies, whether positive or negative, to address them as needed. Here's my final bonus, family, and then I'm going to go on to my transformational closing. Encourage open communication within the project team. This right here, this probably could have been the number one point that I talked about, but I wanted to address everything else. You have to earn their trust, of course, but when you earn their trust, you want to encourage open communication. This creates a collaborative environment where issues are raised early and solutions are identified early, which can be developed late, which can be addressed quickly. Here's my actionable tip. Foster an open door policy where team members feel comfortable sharing concerns and suggestions. Use collaboration tools, whether it's meetings, whether it's Slack, whether it's team, so you can facilitate real-time communication among team members. Here's my transformational remark. I have three of them, family. I'll let you be on your way. Trust is earned before it is given. You have to understand that. That means that, yeah, I know you may want to go to this particular project manager or project managers, but there's a certain expectation when you have those three letters or those four letters, three letters being PMP, four letters being CAPBIL. There's an expectation that you're going to come in, as they say, hit the ground running, and you're there to solve problems. And because you're there to solve problems, they may not be able to help you because they're thinking, well, you already know the information. What you need to do is show, you need to go in there and do what you can with the information you have. And you start by doing those interviews. You start by talking with people to start collecting requirements or finding out where the projects are. So again, here, I say this over and over again, don't be so quick to judge those other project managers because you don't know what they had to go through to get where they're at. Number two, regular assess team pain points across all project phases. You want to understand what is actually going on with your team and how can we address these properly so we can be more proactive instead of reactive. Implement a phase, the actionable tip is ensuring that we implement a phase transition review at the end of each project phase. And my last and final transformational remark, blend company knowledge with PMBOK standards. Just to sum this up, family, create you a project management playbook for the organization. And the very first thing you want to start with is the PMBOK processes. And then you modify this and supplement based on company culture. If you're able to understand any past project success, as well as the organizational constraints. And this is a playbook or a document you want to basically keep regularly updated. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity today. I want to let you know you are not alone when it comes to maybe walking into an organization that do not have all the proper processes and procedures. But the awesome thing, this is why they hired you. Now you get a chance to leave an imprint on the organization by creating these. But first, before you start throwing everything at them, bring them up with you slowly. Don't just try to throw everything at them because it will just turn them off. Until next time.